Gracious Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Yet another day, Father, to examine ourselves here as a family of God, in thy house, in thy presence, for fellowship, for worship, and to hear, Lord, your word, to understand, Father, the mystery of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your great love for us, Lord, your grace, your mercy that thou hast shown to us, Father, and bring us to this day into your fold, Father, into your great love, into your great agape, into that divine, wonderful blessing of eternal life that's in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. Now, Father, break the word down, Father. Help us all to understand. Especially, O Lord, and for those who are listening to this or watching this video from other countries, Lord, that they might understand also thy precious word of life. We thank you, Lord, and asking your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The subject I want to talk about is the woman, the dragon, the beast, and the whore. Three chapters from the book of Revelation, Revelation 12, 13, and 17. Now, Risa, I feel that I should deal with this subject today and finish that off, is because of lots of ideas that are floating around. Because of several ideas that's been floating around over this topic regarding the seven heads of the first beast of Revelation. The confusion is out there in Africa. Now, of course, because of this Amos, who hold on to Royal Jackson's a line of thoughts, which is fine if they want to go through that. And there are also others, you know, like the Philippines as well. Now, the thing here is that we also have ideas from the Branhamites, which has been called Brother Branham. And I want to say is that we're all human. I may be wrong. Brother Jackson may be wrong. Brother Branham may be wrong. Anybody could be wrong. Right? We're not here to prove who is right, who is wrong. Because the Bible said, God said, come let us reason together. One. Paul said, and Jesus said, search the scripture. Right? Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God. You study, you search, you reason. When I say reason, people think that I'm crazy. Especially a friend of mine, they will say, wow. You're going to have reason. But the prophet said this. That's what all you have to do is just believe what the prophet said. You don't reason. But the Bible said, come reason. God said, come reason. Though your sin be as scarlet, they can be as white as you. How does it make sense? How is your sin can become white as snow? Black is always black. Coffee is always black. You never get coffee where it's white. But God said, come, let us reason together. I can make your coffee white without mixing it with milk. Now you're going to listen to what God is saying. The scripture is there to reason. Everything doesn't make sense to many of us, right? Isn't it? Is that not right? How is it that we don't fall off the earth? There's all kinds of things that we don't understand, but God has the answer in the Bible. We don't want to prove here who is right or who is wrong. We want just to know what God's word really says. And we know that the Bible will interpret itself. Amen. We just look into it and the Bible will simply interpret itself. And if it makes sense, it must make sense. And there must be always a structure in the Bible that you cannot twist it around. When the Bible said this, image, and likeness. Don't make image and likeness the same. Just because the English word, it looks the same, sounds the same. Like synonym. Synonym, you know synonym? It's you choose the best word that you can to find which suit what you want to describe. But image and likeness, a whole lot of different. But a lot of people say, no, it's the same. And so they interpret the scripture like just the way it was, it is, without understanding what it's talking about. You see. So when we approach that for this subject, I want you to have an open mind. As far as out there in the world who are watching or viewing this video and learning it. Alright? So to the book of Revelation. Now, we're going to look at it. I want sometime I just want some of you to read it as well. But we want to look at it, and I want to point out certain words or phrases to call your attention to it so that your mind will analyze it, how the word is structured. Okay? Now, when we approach the book of Revelation, chapter 12, I want you to know we are already past chapter 10. And you know what chapter 10 is in Revelation, right? It's about the great mighty angel that John saw came down from heaven. Alright, coming down from heaven. Clothed with the clouds and rainbow around his head. And then he came down, his feet was blazing. And he put his right foot in the sea. And then he put his left foot on the land. So that is showing the coming of the Lord. That means to say, by this time, when this vision is going to take place, fulfilled, you know that when you pass into chapter 11, we realize then the children have been gone by then. Alright, the rapture will have been gone. Because in chapter 11, what do we see in chapter 11? The two witnesses. So now we talk about chapter 11, God is showing out in the vision to John regarding Israel. What will be happening to Israel then? And that will be the 70th week of Daniel. Got it? You see? And then chapter 12, still Israel. If anybody say any otherwise, something is wrong. From then on, in 13, you find a beast. 17, you also find a beast right there. It's all about the future. What's going to happen to Israel and upon the earth? What effect the children of Israel affect the world? In the world today, the problem in the world, that's why a lot of people in the world, they curse the Jew. They blame the Jew for the problems in the world. Hitler, Eichmann, right? And many more people. Is that right? You all know about it, don't you? You see? If there is no Middle East, if there is no Israel existing, there will be no problem. That's what people say. Alright. So now, when we look into this, let us look in chapter 12 now, and let me read that. And at some place I'll ask someone to read. Because I read it because there are certain words in this certain particular verses that I want to emphasize. Revelation chapter 12 verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And being with child cried, trembling in birth and pain to be delivered. Now, this chapter of Revelation about this woman who is clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and her head a crown of 12 stars. Clothed with the sun, moon under her feet, a crown of 12 stars. So, there are theologians who says that this woman is the church. You understand? This woman is the church. It's the glory, because it was clothed with the sun, and the moon on her feet, she was clothed with the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the moon on her feet, that's the Christian walk, that's the church is a reflector of the life of Jesus Christ. And the crown of 12 stars, the 12 stars are who? The apostles. Alright, good. Just by taking that one verse, fine, they can interpret it that way. But when it comes to the second verse, then you've got to answer the question. Because it said, she being with child cry and trembling in pain to be delivered. Who is this child? The man child. She was pregnant with a child and crying in pain to deliver. Who is that child? Oh, they say the child, the man child, as the Bible later on in the verse 5 says, and she brought forth the man child. Man child means the male child. Oh, the male child. Oh, it's the first born of the church. The cream of the crop of the church. You understand what I'm saying? That means the special group out of the church. The bright group, the special elected group. The rest are kept, you know, were not prepared to slide behind. Sounds good, huh? But let me ask you a question. Does the church bring forth Christ? Is it the church that gives birth to Christ? What comes first? That's the same question, huh? What comes first? The fish or the ocean? What comes first? The sinner or the saint? Or the savior or the saint? I mean the savior or the sinner, sorry. Is it the savior or the sinner? What comes first? Don't you know how to answer this question? What comes first? The chicken or the egg stuff? What comes first? Chicken or egg?
Chicken.
So what comes first? Savior or sinner? Savior. Because God has the attribute of being a savior, therefore he must have sinner. That's right. To show that attribute of being a savior, therefore sin must come into the world. Sinner must be there. So he could act the part of a savior. What comes first? Fish or the ocean? Fish. Because God wanted to create fish, he must create water for the fish. Not because he created water, he put fish there. But because the ocean, it has all kinds of creatures. God had all the creatures, so I want these creatures to swim, so therefore he make water. So what comes first? The church comes first. Or Jesus Christ comes first. Common sense will tell you, it's not the church that gives birth to Jesus Christ. It's not the church that produced Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ that produced the church. Common sense will tell you this. If you people look at this, that's you know why. Not everybody can interpret the scripture. And somebody asked my brother, who give you the right to interpret the scripture? And God gave me the right to interpret the scripture. If I cannot interpret the scripture and make sense to you, then it doesn't make sense. If I can interpret the scripture and give it sense, make it make sense to you, then you should look at it carefully. It's all there. Bible scripture will interpret its own self. It's right here. So don't tell me that the church produced the savior. No. So who is this woman? The Bible said the woman was clothed with the sun. Feet, moon under her feet. Israel was to be a glorious nation. All that she had, that God had given her in the past, was the law. The moon is what was the law that God gave to Israel. Huh? She has not yet been clothed yet. This is what God showed to John on the Isle of Patmos. The visions of the whole standing of Israel as a nation before God. What would be with this nation of Israel? Do you understand? But yet the vision was shown was that it is because of Israel that the man child was born. But she cannot be in this whole position until God finishes it up from what was in the beginning. Now remember, this woman represents Israel. She did not represent Abraham. She did not represent Isaac or Jacob. You remember this. I want you to look at the whole structure. The woman is Israel. Israel as a nation. As a 12 tribe nation. 12 sons of Israel. Whose name was formerly Jacob. You know that, don't you? Right. Get the picture right now. Okay. So what about the crown of 12 stars?
Well, Trump stars. Is not stars messengers?
But again, didn't you say that?
He said, when God said to John, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? Huh? When the sons of God shout up for joy and the stars of heaven, stars of God sing together."
Did you say that the star would angel, the messenger?
Yes, I did. So he must be messenger. How could that represent? He must represent the 12 apostles who are messenger of God.
Let me tell you something.
Don't take it just by one side. Look at the vision carefully.
When God asked Abraham, look into the heaven and count the number of stars if you can. So what are those stars? Are those star messengers? Or what does it represent? It represents his seed. Remember, count the sand of the seashore if you can, Abraham. It represents his seed. Stars always represent something. But when you talk about the stars in the hand of Christ,
in the book of Revelation chapter 1, the seventh star, right?
These are not the stars that's in heaven. The star that was in his hand that was sent forth. So it depends what you're looking at. So how do we know who are the stars? Well, let us go to the book of Genesis 37 and verse 9. Somebody read it.
And he dreamt yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars make obeisance to me."
See,
so these are the 12 stars. Who does it represent? The 12 sons of Jacob or Israel. The sun was Jacob. The moon was the mother.
Right. So we see the picture there, even as we see the picture over in Revelation chapter 12. The sun, the moon, and the star. Even the picture was showing there. And so this crown of 12 stars speaks about the 12 sons, the tribe. There will be the one, the tribe, or the Israel will be the kingdom on the earth. The 12 tribe will be there. And out of each tribe, there will be 12 that will sit with Christ to judge the nation that Jesus Christ promised his 12 disciples. Right? You remember that? Okay. Now let's continue Revelation chapter 12 verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And he drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and he cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her daughter as soon as it was born. Now, let's look at it in verse 3. Great red dragon. Right? What is this great red dragon? Now, the word here is a Greek word. Dragon here is a drakon. Alright, dracon is where you get the word dragon. But they say it's a very mesmerizing creature. And since all those times, back then, of course, the picture of a dragon, when you use the word, it has a wing, and has a tail, an arrowhead tail, so on. Alright, that's fine. This dragon has 7 heads and 10 horns. And the 7 crowns are upon his heads. Got it? The beast is singular. You understand? Beast is singular. But he has 7 heads. And on the 7 heads are 12 crowns. A crown on each of these 7 heads. They are all together, 7 crowns all together. And he has 10 horns. 10 horns. Now, this is a vision that John saw, a vision that is in heaven. Correct?
First one tells us that. Did you see? Appears the great water in heaven. Not on the earth. It's in heaven. John did not see the constellation like some people are putting on YouTube. Then he saw Vigo and Jupiter and Dragon and don't know what else. And he said, that's why they are putting on YouTube and said Christ will come on the 23rd of September 2017, which is already gone. What John saw was a literal vision of a woman standing, appearing in heaven. And then before the woman was this dragon with seven heads. And the Bible tells us this. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. The stars of heaven, not the stars on the crown. The stars of heaven, who are they? They are the angels. And his tail drew a third part of the angels of heaven. Who is this dragon then? It's a representation of Satan. Do you understand that? The Bible tells you all this. You cannot miss it up. And it was this dragon was standing before the woman, waiting to devour the man child. When the man child was delivered. When the woman gave birth to the man child, the dragon will eat him up or kill and destroy him. Isn't it? Is it clear? But you must understand, this is only a vision. The woman represents Israel. The dragon represents Satan. But he has seven heads with crowns on it. Not without crowns, with crowns on it. What does it tell you? It tells us that this dragon, Satan, is going to use, he's going to move upon the earth. Later on you find it in Revelation chapter 13 and 17. What has Jesus Christ said? You know, when he told the disciples, whatever you forgive on earth, it is forgiven in heaven, right? That will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. So whatever is shown in heaven in this spiritual heavenly vision to John is reflected onto the earth. The real event that is going to happen on the earth. Because the Bible said there is war in heaven. Right? You understand? What is being fought out there in heaven between Michael, Gabriel's angels against satanic forces of angels is what we see on the earth today. Even what the Bible wrote about, the book of Daniel. How the Michael wanted to come down and help him, but he was detained. He had to fight with another force out there in Persia. These are real. Demons are fighting against God's angel. Because they are trying to destroy God's people. Disrupt God's plan and purpose for His people on earth. So we realize then who this great red dragon is. Verse 5. And he brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And the child was called up unto God and to his throne. Now, that tells us who that is. That is not a rapture, as some will interpret, because the woman is the church. The man child was the firstborn of the church, the cream of the crop of the church, the saint. It was taken out, raptured into heaven. No. We know that this man child was not that. That is a male child. It was Jesus Christ. When he was born, how that through the Roman Empire. Remember how King Herod wanted to kill him? Right. You see. But how did the Lord God guide Jesus, Joseph and Mary to take Jesus to go to Egypt? Until the time that Herod died.
Alright? Then they would go back to Israel. But of course here he says her child was caught up into heaven and to his throne. People think that they just read it, the child took God to heaven. Without thinking that there is a time, the Bible just tells you a picture like this, but you need to fill in the gap to where how that the timeline flows. Do you understand? Okay? Because if you say, wow, it doesn't make sense then. But then if you say the man child is a criminal of a crime, it was a child, the man child is a baby that just born, how can it become adults, a saints? There's also another argument on this side. This is a composite, or what we call a vision that is condensed. Enough to tell you the history. Enough to tell you the present. Enough to tell you what's going to be in the future. That's all. Alright? And now verse 6 to 8. But KK, we'll just read that three verses.
And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven.
Alright, this tribute is enough to tell us. It's about the great tribulation, right? So the rest of the church is going to run away in the wilderness somewhere. No, he's talking about woman Israel. When the tribulation comes, Israel will face the Antichrist. But the woman will be scattered around the world and be hid in some places in other countries of the world where the 144,000 will feed her. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out. Now I want you to remember the word cast out. Remember I told you there are difference between cast out and cast down. And I don't think anybody ever interpret that, but tell you. There's a lot of difference between the word cast out. You know what I mean by cast out? I cast you out. A student in the class misbehaved, cast out of the church, cast out of the class. Huh? Cast down is another different word. You can read that over in the book of Isaiah. Cast down means to trodden down. Put a person very in a low place, debase him, cast down. I can say this as a Christian, those certain cast me down, and yet I'm not destroyed. You understand what I'm saying? Cast, the devil may try to destroy you as much as try to put you down, cast you already down, feel that you are not worth being a Christian. But you are not destroyed. You understand? But when a sinner is cast down, he is incarnated into the Pope. Alright? And when the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil. Now you can have an understanding now. The great red dragon is the old serpent. What's the old serpent? Back in the Garden of Eden. And he's also the devil. Huh? And he's also Satan. Means that he is a, what? An adversary. You know, I don't know whether you remember, several years ago, some crazy father in Indonesia had a son and wanted to name his son Satan. It was in the news. He went to register his name Satan, and the department was saying, you can't do that. You can't call your son Satan. You know how people are crazy? Yeah. Of course, he was not granted. But I don't know whether he nicknamed his son Satan or not, even though he's not registered as Satan. And I think the father who called his son devil is terrible. Right. Verse 9 again, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, was cast up into the earth, and his angel were cast out with him. Cast out. Cast out from his position. Cast out from his authority. Cast out from where he was. Remember, every angel has a place. You are cast out from your estate.
All right, and verse 10 to 12, Brother Henry.
And I heard a loud voice saying to him in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, we accuse them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of his their testament. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time.
Right. So when a sinner is cast down, salvation will be over for us. Because when Satan is incarnate into the Pope, right, we don't want to be here. Alright. And then verse 13 now. And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. So now you can see, the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. So here he foretells what was to happen now. Okay? This was a vision that John saw, remember? Okay. Verse 14 to 17. Brother Luke.
And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And he helped the woman, and he opened her mouth, and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, trying to make war with the remnant of the seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Okay, now, this whole chapter 1 to verse 17, already reading it will tell us that the whole of this chapter practically deals completely with the children of Israel, the nation of Israel. Is that right? Except for the last part, you mentioned one something very peculiar here. See, when the dragon started to attack the woman would be running into the wilderness. She cast out a flood. What is a flood? Her mouth come up, a flood of water to draw her, to kill her. This water represents destruction, represents going forth to destroy the children of Israel. So the woman will be running all over the place in the wilderness. And but the Bible said the earth will open her mouth and swallow her up and kept her safe. The earth is the world out there. Certain country that the Jew will escape will run to. They will feed her, just like during the Second World War. No matter how the many in Poland, Polish people, German people, and out there in some other country, when the Nazism conquered Europe, right? They were seeking out to destroy and kill the Jew. And many of them were saved by Gentiles, keeping them in a secret compartment in the house. I believe you might have read some of this. One of the famous one is, what's her name? What's her name again? Anne Frank. Yeah, Anne Frank. There are others, in fact there are others that you can see on YouTube, you can actually look at it. They were actually saved by Gentiles. Okay, but here is that the dragon was wrong with a woman, make war with the remnant of a seed. And the rest of them that were stood firm, the remnant of the woman's seed. Woman's seed, remember? And it says, which keep the commandment of God. And that's the Jew. Because what they have is the commandment of God. And the testament of Jesus Christ. These are either converted Jew, and also who are Christian people, the Gentile Christian. Or who identify with the Jew, they will also be sought out by the Antichrist and be destroyed. You understand that? Okay, now it says that the dragon means Satan himself, not the beast Because the beast what we saw was the spirit. And that spirit of the beast was satanic. Right? You understand? Now we talk about the beast. We talk about China. What is the beast of China? What is represented by the beast? What does China represent? What kind of beast represents China? The dragon, right? The Chinese dragon. So the spirit of the beast, the Chinese dragon, what is it? It's communism. A communistic spirit. What does that beast represent America? Well, they always take the eagle, the boy eagle, right? But the Bible, identify America as the bison. What about Singapore? The Malayan. Is it? What about Malaysia? Tiger? Right. I believe it's tiger. You know. So, the spirit of that animal. But is it behind the spirit of the animal is whatever is working in that. Russia is represented by a bear. You know. Okay? Alright, let's continue now. Go to chapter 13 now. We'll look here. See how that this vision of chapter 12 is now reflected onto the earth in chapter 13. Here we see is the first piece. Not about the Catholic Church. I want you to remember that. My famous friend, Presbyterian friend, when he read my book, he didn't want to read it properly, he really to find fault. He said, the beast is the Antichrist, Antichrist the beast. I said, I didn't say that. I said, show me where I wrote that. Huh? The beast is an Antichrist spirit, but not the Antichrist. Huh? He said, oh, you also said that the beast is the woman. The woman is the beast. I said, I didn't say that either. Some people just read very fast my book. There's so many of them when they write me, you know, to the email, ask me questions. I said, please read the book carefully. There are verses of scripture provided there. It's a study book. It is not a novel. It is not just reading through. No. It's a study book. So it's important to really look at the scripture carefully. Revelation 13:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. Now John said, I stand upon the sand of the sea now. Okay? Not like in chapter 12, where he said, there appeared a great wonder in heaven. When he was on the earth, he looked up and there was a wonder in heaven. But now this vision is changed now. He found himself standing upon the sand of the sea. In a vision. He found himself like a dream. You know, you stand in the sea, saw something like that, and you see something display out there. And saw a beast rise up of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Now I told you and say this, that the original text says this. And I saw a beast coming out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. So it's reversed. Your King James Version says he has 7 heads and 10 horns. Right, the original text says 10 horns and 7 heads. The horns appear first. Because as the Bible said, John said, I stood upon the sea and I saw the beast rise on the sea. When you see a beast come out of the sea, the first thing you see is the horn. Isn't it? Comes common sense. Then the head that bears the horn, then the rest of the head, then the body, then the feet coming out onto the shore. It's important to see what the scriptures say. Like some always say that in the chapter 10 of Revelation, the mighty angel appeared upon land and said, no. John said, I saw the mighty angel come down. There is a motion. Fail to see all these things that wrote, details that wrote, God put in the scripture, you're going to miss anything. Alright. So we want to look at here the thing about the beast, heads, horns, crown. You know what a beast is? The beast, whenever you have a beast, it must have a body.
then you will have a head. What controls the beings? What controls the beings? The head. What controls your body? The head. And the horns are on the head. What are horns? Horns are protrusion. Anything that projects out of it. Right. And we know one thing. Bees, animals, do not grow heads. This is one thing I want to say. Because the theory that the seven heads appear over time, one by one, the head comes up from the body of the beast. Now, you understand? Have you seen animals that are born with two heads? Have you seen a two-headed snake? You don't go Google on the YouTube, on the internet. And Google and says two-headed animals. They'll show you. A pig that has two heads, a turtle that has two heads, they're grown up because they're born like this, but through some genetic flaw, you know. Do you understand? You will never see a pig, a cow, or any animals already on earth was born and living and walk, running around. Suddenly, one morning, the farmer says, oh, this pig is growing another head. You won't see that. Animals do not grow head. Animals do grow horns. Have you seen goats? When they are young, they have no horns. Grow bigger, the horns are coming out. Right? That's not a lie. The Bible even tells us in the book of Daniel about the horn that comes out of the tent. You see? So, crowns. What are crowns? Crowns means authority. Alright, chapter verse 2 now. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. Okay, the beast was like unto a leopard. Feet were as the feet of a bear. The mouth as the mouth of a lion, because it speaks great things. Okay, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. The dragon, that is the devil. Satan, the spirit. Give this beast that has seven heads and 10 horns, the authority. He sees his power to execute something. And I saw one of his heads as he was wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. I saw one of his head was wounded to death. And his daily wound was healed. And the world wondered, wow, what is that? One of his head, there are seven heads. One of the head was wounded. Which head was it? We'll know. We'll look at it. It's the seventh head. There are seven heads altogether, right? It's the last head. The seventh head was wounded unto death. But yet, his very wound was healed. When was the head wounded? When was the head wounded? It was wounded in the year 1517. By who? Martin Luther. The seventh head was the Holy Roman Empire. Well, we will talk about this first before we parley over the world with all these other view to find out what the heads are. Because what I'll prove today is that the heads in the Bible here on this beast, Revelation 12, 13, 17, these seven heads are seven empires, seven kingdoms, versus those who say that the seven heads are seven emperors. Right? Okay, now, but let's look at the chart. Here, regarding this beast, these structures of the empire. Okay, this is the beast that we have. I mean, Revelation 12. So we have the woman of Revelation 12 and this great dragon. Now, already I said he has crowns on the head.
There are 10 horns. The horns can only be on one head. Okay? I have seen drawings of bad people on the website. The horns are all over the place. The horns can be only on one head. And since there is only one head, it must be on the seventh head. That's the reason why when the beast came out of the sea, John saw the horns first. The 10 horns, right? It must be on one head. Then he saw the head that carries the horn. Then the rest of all the other heads that's on the beast came out of the sea. Since there are seven heads, Satan that stood before the woman is going to destroy the man-child. That's the big one dipping in heaven, right? Because of the war in heaven. Satan is going to destroy what is God's plan. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay? So, since there are all together seven heads, the first head is Egypt. The Egyptian Empire. Now, some of you on the video might ask, oh, you might laugh away and say, oh, how can it be so sure there's someone else? How come it's Egypt, the first one? What about other empire before Egypt? Let me tell you something here. Vision in Revelation 12 is Israel as a nation. Let me ask you. When God called Abraham out of Mesopotamia, there were already Nimrod's empire. Is that alright? Yes, Nimrod's empire was there. But did they persecute him? Did they persecute? Was there the children of Israel as a nation? Was it already there? Were the 12 sons there? Were the 12 stars already there? No. He came down to Canaan land. Right? Out there. Yeah, he fought with the rescue Lord and fought among all the kings from the Mesopotamia. Yes. Was there 12 stars? Born yet? No. So when was there an Israel? Abraham was not Israel. Isaac was not Israel. Jacob was not Israel. Until his name was changed. And he had four wives. And out of the four wives came 12 sons. Right? Isn't it? Common sense tells you that. But they were living out there in Canaan. When a famine came, they had to go down to Egypt, right? Is that right? They went up to Egypt. Joseph was there. Everything was fine. But after Joseph died, all those children of Israel were there, came under a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. What Joseph had done for the Egyptian people. And Pharaoh grew up to hate the children of Israel. Put them in bondage, and even when God dealt with him, finally with all the plagues that he put upon the Egyptian, the Pharaoh said, okay, go. The moment the children of Israel left Egypt, the spirits of the great dragon came upon him. And he went out after them with an army to seek to destroy them, right? You remember? Up to the Red Sea. That was the first kingdom or empire that seek to destroy God's people. Now all those nations in the world today, they oppose Israel. They are in trouble. God hasn't even yet moved his little finger. When he does, something is going to happen to all those nations that come against Israel. Alright, so Egypt, this is the empire of Egypt. The first head. Second head. Assyria. Okay? Remember how that the children of Israel, when they rebelled against the Lord and God had this Assyrian armed forces came down and make them captive. Fought against them, put them in chains. And some of the king were eyes were blind and things like that happened. That's Assyria. Next. That's Babylon.
After Assyria came the Babylonian Empire. After Babylon came forth the Middle Persia. There are four beasts that Daniel saw. If you go to the book of Daniel chapter 7, you can read it. Huh? The first was like a lion, had eagle's wings. You see? That's what Daniel saw. Daniel didn't see the lion grow wings. No. There were animals with bones that were born like this. So when the vision appeared like this, means like this, it didn't grow. Do you understand that? Then the second beast was, the middle portion was a bear. One side was stronger than the other. The stronger side was Persia. Alright, the weaker side was middle, or the medium, the next. And now we have the great empire under Alexander. At 28 years old, he's already a mighty man. Next. And we have the Roman Empire. How big a Roman Empire is? Over all the world here. That's number six. Number seven is the Holy Roman Empire. It came down to this. There were a lot of split. There were a lot of problems when the Roman Empire came in. But the Holy Empire, no matter how it is, controls many countries. That's the seventh. Alright, so look at the next one. So now we are looking at this creature that came out of the sea. Now in this is a picture I drew with a photo, don't know what at that time, huh? You know, back in those days when computer no one had the high class program that you have. So it's not easy to draw back in those days. And don't laugh at this ugly drawing. I don't think you can produce that. Okay? So, you have an animal, see the feet is bear's feet. Okay? The body is a leopard. The mouth, like a lamb. Someone's head, of course, the first head that came out, as I said, and this is what John saw. And his head was wounded. Revelation 13, verse 4. And they worship the dragon which give power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? We're talking about the beast. Huh? It's always a him, not a her. The beast as a whole, the beast. Who can make war with the beast? But it says in verse 3, he one of his head was wounded unto death. And he was healed. Now the wound was given by Martin Luther. When he came up in the Catholic Church, he wrote 95 theses, went to Wittenberg Council's door, and then banged on a thesis, and the people started reading it, oh my, how he denounced the Catholic Church and all those doctrines. He was so brave that everybody said, my goodness, you are going to have your head cut off. But people, when they read that, they realize the truth. The rally around him and his fire spark all throughout Europe. And Reformation started. And the Catholic Church then was wounded to death. But he now the wound was healed. What causes the wound to be healed? Who dressed up the wound? It's supposed to die. You should have killed it. But it didn't. You know why? Because of the second beast. The second beast that John saw in his vision, and animals on the land, a bison, that's America. In America, it's where we have the Protestant, they ran away, they escaped all. Who got out of Europe and England and all those places to find a new land in America. And the church started, they were all in godly trials and all this. But then, in earlier or just before before the earlier 20th century. The warrior churches coming together and say, let's just join together in faith, after all. Then they formed councils of churches. And then by and by they started the National Council of Churches. And by it spread over the world into the World Council of Churches. And in 1948, in Uppsala, Sweden, the World Council of Churches was established. That was building the image to the beast, and the beast's wound was healed. You can see many of these crazy preachers say, let us all go back to Rome. Well, after all, we came from them. One of them, I can't remember his name, but I said, let us give the bag a shake. You know? So the ecumenism pull all the Protestant churches back into Mama. That's why Mama, Rome is called the mother of harlots. The rest of them out there are harlots. That's the image they built to the beast. No wonder the world was wondering, how come this beast, one was to death, but now was alive. Look at how many churches in Singapore today. It's going back. Examples of God. Once they fought against it, now a member of it. Man, how I hated that. In those days when I was in that church, I fought against that system. They were against it, but now, we are daughters of the Lord. Let's go back. Yeah. You see how it is? And one of the most dangerous arms they bring everybody back is ecumenism. Ecumenism. Anything goes in ecumenism. Alright? So now, in verse, who is able to make war with it? We may not realize Roman Catholicism, Vatican City, is a very small little city, state. It's a nation in itself. There's no boundary. Its population in there is only less than 200, I think. But its citizen is in millions all around the world. Remember this. And many countries bow down to him in Philippines. Is one of them. Nicaragua, Cuba, Brazil. Many of those countries out there bowing to the Pope. It's only what? Vatican didn't have nothing. But all those out there. And he controls so many countries. They were supporting. So who can make war with that? When he holds the power. And controlling all the heads of all the beasts of the whole world. That's what the Antichrist, that's how Satan will be. When he incarnate into the Pope, then you will see what happened. And you don't want to see it. You surely don't want to be around to see it. Verse 5. And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy. And powers are given him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name. His tabernacle, and then the dwell in heaven. So now he says, remember one thing, that the beast can only have one mouth to speak at one time. And since this is the vision that John saw, that the beast came off with 10 horns and upon one head, we are talking about this particular one. This is the head that controls the beast now. The rest of it are gone. Alright. Verse 7. And it was given to him to make war with the saints. Of course. It's not a Muslim war. It's not Islam. They're fighting against Christians. You understand what I'm saying? Do you know what Antichrist is? Antichrist means anti-word. One who will come, that Jesus said, I can't even find Father's name, you will not receive me. But one who will come in his name, you will receive him. Right? Yes. So there will be somebody that looks like Christ, that represents Christ. Islam does not represent Christ. Muhammad does not represent Christ. If someone says, I am the Christ, Valkyries, Philadelphia, in the state of Christ, the vanguard of Christ. Just to see what happened now in South Africa, one man, you know, he called what Brother Branham said, you know, if I'm not the one, there might be another one that's coming. And he quoted that and he says, I am that one. Wow, you see that? Claim to be the one that come after Brother Branham. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Okay? So this head is not an emperor in the Roman Empire's time. So all the world will worship this beast, or they will look up to this beast. The buying and selling. Remember how they take the mark on the 666? This is what's coming upon the world. Alright. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that lives in captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Here's the patience and the faith of the saints. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 17 now. Remember chapter 13 is all about the peace. But now we are looking at the peace in a different light. Look at the chart. Or look at the picture. Revelation 17 verse 1. And there they came one of the seven angels which had the seven vows and talked with me saying, come hither and I will show unto thee the judgment of the whore, great whore that sits upon many waters. Many waters means many nations. Alright, the great whore that sits upon many nations. That's what the word water is. Many people. Nations of people. Alright. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of a fornication. You know, that's where everyone, the Catholic Church, go. No wonder my father hates Christianity. Because of what Christianity has done. Even in Protestantism, there's a lot of lies. Because organization will use the name of religion for their own purpose. For their own evil purpose. This woman will go to this country and talk with the kings and say, we'll do this for you and all this, that and all, you know, so and so. And by and by they bring in their doctrines. Well, their doctrines are so good. Coupled with the Bible verses. While they will hold the Bible, their kids do all these religious signs. Look so good. And people listen. And people normally want a religion that is easy to follow. On such and such a day, such and such a festivals. You have done this, you do this. Your sins are gone. Very simple, isn't it? That's the reason why a lot of mafia are Catholic. Drug runners in America, you know that, don't you? Brother Pierre is one of the ex-mafia, he was a Catholic before. He runs drugs, make money. Huh. You know that, don't you? Al Capone and others, you know, you know all the history, those are all mafia. Many of them are just Catholic. Because it's a religion so easy to follow, you've done something wrong, go to the box and say, Father, I've sinned. And you get away with it. Easy to follow. But a religion, the true religion of the Bible, the old time gospel religion, is a religion that makes your life what it should be in the sight of God and the sight of man. You live that life for God. You understand what I'm saying, huh? It's a straight and narrow way. So he carried me away. I mean, the verse 2 again. He made the earth make drunk, make the inhabitants of the earth drunk with the wine of a fornication. The doctrines are mixed with the Bible. Their ideas and all this. So everybody thinks it's okay, they get drunk, right? It is easy to follow religion, yeah. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw the one and said, the wilderness is no longer in the sea. He saw this animal now in the wilderness.
See? It's wilderness. Dry land.
Wilder means, you know, when you're dry up there, you know, dry means you can't, you really don't have life.
This is what John saw. A woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast. Now it's scarlet-colored. Now the beast changes color now. Depicting something because scarlet-colored means bloody. It's a woman that sits upon this animal, upon this beast, that controls the beast. Before, the beast was not controlled by the woman. The woman did not sit on the beast, right? It was a beast that came out of the sea that controls the, what they call the nations in that region. The European side, the great sea, the Mediterranean Sea. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Middle Persia, Grecian, Roman Empire, that's the region. And then as well, finally, that Holy Roman Empire. But now we have a woman sitting on it. The wounds are healed. Huh? And now, what he says now? He said, you find in this chapter that the horns are crowned. Alright, let's look at this verse. A scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. So, the beast had a new color, no crowns on the heads. Alright? The crowns are on the horns, huh? Vision now depicts the future state. This is the vision that John saw that depicts the future states of the beast with somebody sitting on it, with a woman sitting on it, with a horse sitting on it. And then later on, the horns will be crowned. Now the Bible said the beast is full of name of blasphemy. Not the heads. The blasphemy was not on the head. It's the beast was full of blasphemy itself. Speak great things. Well, you know, if you look at all the southern empire, every one of them blasphemed against God. Every king of the heads of all this empire, Egyptian, Pharaoh, and all this, they go against God. But there was never a head that speak a whole lot of blasphemy. Except this one that John saw. The head with the ten horns. Speak a whole lot of blasphemy. You know that, don't you? Huh? Look at her doctrine. Look at the doctrine of the beast kingdom. When the Holy Roman Empire came into existence. What does it have? All about the traditions and interpretation, mimic ideas, coupled with a few of the verses of scripture. It's all blasphemy against God. Oh, Virgin Mary! It's the Mother of God. Really? When Jesus was born, the little baby Jesus, oh, that's God. Mm-hmm. Do the sign of the cross. Mm-hmm. Water with some salt or something on it. It's holy water. A lot of things that was not there. Purgatory. Have you seen the word purgatory in the Bible? What does it teach about purgatory in the Bible? They use that to be able to get people to escape out of hell. Very conveniently. All these are blasphemous things that came out from the mouth of the beast. And it's the seventh head. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. See? The same. The beast was arrayed in purple and scarlet color.
That's a royalty. That's high degree. Red, purple. Jesus guy has only one robe. Special robe that was made for him. It was said to be seamless. What color is that? What color is that? Purple. The purple robe. Here in the Greek church you have purple, you have scarlet. Cardinal, red, beautiful. All pompous. And people love pompous things. You carry an object on your shoulder of a figurine that is made up, it's so beautifully decorated, and said, this is the Holy Christ. And they came up with all that. What we have over in Philippines, the black Nazarene. Baby of the Niño. They worship all these images. The people are so blinded because these beasts have made the world drunk with the wine of a fornication. Decked with precious stones of pearls, I mean the golden cup in the hand, full of abominations and filthiness and of her fornication. And upon her forehead was written mystery, Babylon the great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drawn with the wine, the blood of the saints, with the blood of the mother of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Even John said, wow. And the angel said unto me, wherefore did thou marvel? Why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carry her, which have the 7 heads and 10 horns. Remember, the beast did not carry her before. In chapter 13, right? Now the beast carried her. So when did the papacy start? Before the papacy started, the 7-headed beast were already working under the influence of Satan. Remember what in chapter 12, the great dragon, the old serpent, that give power to these heads, to these heads to speak. You understand? There was no woman sitting on it yet. In chapter 13, there was no woman sitting. The beast was already in existence. That's why we said the seven empire. Egypt, Assyrian, Babylonian, Medo-Persia, Grecian, the Roman Empire, and the Holy Roman Empire. But when did the Holy Roman Empire start? When was papacy founded? Papacy was founded in the year 476 AD. Papacy was founded in the Church of Rome, but yet papacy was not even writing it yet. Because the Holy Roman Empire came in the year 800 AD. So you see the time? I want you to look at time, so when we look at the next chapter, next a few verses, we will understand the difference between saying that the beast with the 7 heads are 7 empire as being that they are not 7 empire but 7 heads are 7 emperors of Rome. It's ridiculous. Okay, don't watch. Papacy started in 476 AD, alright? But Rome came in 753 BC. What a difference. Alright, Revelation 17:8. The beast that thou saw was, is not, it shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. And then go into destruction. Go into ruin, perdition. And then the dragon of the earth shall wonder whose name was not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. When they behold the beast that was, is not, and yet is. It was one moment, next moment it disappeared. And yet is to come. That's why the 7-head that was bruised and wounded to death, it was. Then it died, as if it knew it would disappear. But then it came up again. And yet is to come. Because it will become the 8th head. But yet not 8, but it comes from the 7th.
Okay. Alright. Verse 9. And here is the mind which have wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sit. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sit. Now, obviously, the beast carries the woman. So the woman was not sitting on the head. How do you sit on seven heads? So the word sit on seven means the woman is controlling the seven heads. Who sits in parliament? What do you mean by it? You understand by the word? You know by the word, right? Who sits in parliament? When we say who sits in parliament, it don't just mean, merely means the place itself. Who sits in the government? Huh? You understand? So when we say it's to sit on the head means control. Like the woman control all the nations of the world. Like in our verse that we read earlier. Alright. So, the woman that sits upon her means that he was supreme as a queen. And you know how the Roman character always depict their church as they are the queen, huh? Over all the kingdoms of the earth. Verse 18. Jump down to verse 18, you understand. Revelation 17:18. And the woman which thou saw is the great city which reigned over the kings of the earth. When you reign over the kings of the earth, this king must have a kingdom, right? Must have a nation, must have an empire. That's right. So when she sits upon the head, it means she rules over them, she controls them, she influences them. The heads of all the nations of the world, the kings are all drinking the wine with her. Alright, let's go back now. The Bible says here, the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. This verse or this phrase has been taken to say that it refers to Rome. Therefore, the Roman Empire. Because Rome was built on seven hills. Nobody ever said that Rome was built on seven mountains. So there you go! Our answer is there! The beast is a Roman beast with seven emperors. That's how they will say. Alright. Interesting. Rome, from what I know, Rome has 10 hills. Which of the seven hills did Rome build upon? Some even said that you won't be on one hill, only one hill. Because the hill was so low. Okay, now let us define something. How high is the hill? The highest hill, some say, is 82 meters. 82 meters is 269 feet. Which is about a 27, 28 story high building. Okay? That's the tallest. Some say it's only 51 meter. 169 feet only. Or less than 170 feet. But let's take 82 meter. Okay? 269 feet. Is that a mountain? The Bible says mountain. The seven heads are seven mountains. Rome's are not built on seven mountains. To be specific, the word mountain here is fixes, mountain, not hills. Oh, brother, that's just a saying, you know. So what? Is image the same as likeness? If you believe the image and likeness are the same, then you can believe that the mountains are hills. And I couldn't care less about you. Mountain is defined as anything above 1,000 feet. Some say 600 feet and above would be considered mountain. It has a range of them. That's alright. 600 feet. So, even 600 feet as a meter, as a mountain, Rome's highest is only 269. Can it be called a mountain? Anytime when we talk about mountains, mountains are not easy to climb. You can climb a hill, but you cannot climb a mountain without all the mountain gears. You understand that, won't you?
Yes.
How many of you have climbed a mountain? You only climb hills. 1,000 feet high is very high. Or even 600 feet. Some people say, no, it's not the same. Let me show you something. Let's show you. Let us go and read Ezekiel now. Brother Henry. Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 13. And Brother KK, you can read Luke 3, 5. Alright?
Ezekiel chapter 6, verse 13. Then shall ye know that I am the Lord, when their slain men shall be among their idols round about their altars, upon every high hill in all the tops of the mountains, and under every green tree, and under every thick of the place where they did offer sweet savour to all their idols.
See the word there? Every high hill. The word hill in Hebrew is Gibar. Is Gibar. And the word mountain here on top of the mountain is Har. Two different words. If they are the same, God would not have used two different words. I said this before. God's economy is very economical in His usage of word. If the word is what it is, He would not use another word to say the same thing. But He will repeat very, very, I say to you, He will repeat the word very. Huh? You understand? Alright. Luke 3, 5. Now this is the New Testament word now.
Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth.
See the word, every mountain, Greek word is Orios, and every hill, Greek word is Bunos. Two different words. Every mountain will be brought down. All hills will be brought down. Huh? You want to hear me differently? You may disagree with me, but look, let's go now. To tell you that the mountain represents kingdom, not emperor. You understand what I'm saying? Seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman controls, sits over. Alright, let's look into the word, the Jeremiah 31, chapter 31, verse 23.
Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use his speech in the land of Judah and in the cities thereof. When I shall bring again their captivity, the Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness.
Huh, mountain of holiness, what is that? The kingdom of Israel, Jerusalem. That's the kingdom. The Jews are looking for it. Paul, Luke, chapter 50, 25. Jeremiah, chapter 51, sorry. Chapter 51, 25.
Behold, I am against thee, O destroying mountain, saith the Lord, which destroyeth all the earth, and I will stretch out my hand upon thee, and roll thee down from the rocks. I will make thee a burnt mountain.
Oh, destroying mountain, Babylon! I will destroy you, I'll burn you. You burn mountain. That's what it is. That's Babylon. Next, Daniel chapter 2, verse 35. As well.
Daniel 2, 35. Then there was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold, broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that is not the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth.
Amen. So a great mountain, you see, and filled the whole earth. That's when Christ come. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Brother Ying Fang, can you read that from there? Read aloud. Chapter 2, verse 1.
Joel chapter 2 verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble,
For the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand.
Yes, blow the trumpet in Zion, my holy kingdom. Anybody want to say anything? Revelation 17:10 now. And there were seven kings. Five are fallen. Seven kings means seven kingdoms. Obviously. A king must have a kingdom unless you are a fool. A jester in the court. They say, I'm a king. I have no kingdom. Five are fallen, one is, the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he will continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eight, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. The emphasis is the beast, not the head. Okay. The beast that was and is not, even he is the eight. Now here he says seven heads, seven kingdoms, seven kings. Alright? Then there are seven kings. Five are fallen. Seven head, seven mother must be seven king. Seven head equals to seven kingdom, there must be seven king. Right. If the mountains are already emperors, emperor represent as kings, therefore you don't have to say seven kings. But there are seven kings. But the word is meant to make us to see clearly. So there are seven kingdoms, five are fallen. Now this is the vision that was shown to John. What year was it? 96 AD. 96 AD, John was on the Isle of Patmos sitting there. When he opened a vision, opened up to him, and he saw himself standing upon the sea. He was taken by a spirit into the wilderness to see this beast carrying the woman. And he said, the spirit of the angel told her that they are seven kings, five were fallen. 96 AD, five were fallen. Let's have a look at the chart. And we'll see what the others are saying. Now, here, look at this chart. Here, a whole lot of, these are all the lists of all the, emperors. Not only here, a whole lot of these, there are a whole lot more. Okay? Now, very simple for us to know. If we ignore this verse, but when we look at what the seven heads represent, the seven represents seven kingdoms. Five are fallen. In John's day, 96 AD, right? Egyptian's gone. Assyrian's gone. Babylonian gone. Medo-Persian gone. Right? Grecian gone. So what is in John's day? The sixth one is what? The Roman Empire. Was not John living in the days of the Roman Empire? Five are fallen, are gone. One is the one that is you are now in. One is yet to come. You got it? John did not see this one, the seventh one. John didn't see it. John was not living in those days. 3 years later, John died. After he was released from his captivity on the Patmos, he went and passed the church in Ephesus. And then he died. Do you get it? So the six head, five are gone. The one is, that is the Roman Empire. And one is yet to come. Okay? Do you understand what I'm saying now? Okay. And then in verse 11, the beast that was, the beast that was. Now, talking about this beast, it will be, and then one moment it is not, and then the next one it appears again. When it appears again, it will be the eighth head, because we know that this seventh head was bruised to death. Now, if we were to say that these seven heads are seven emperors, this is what those teachers have tried to do. Look at this chart here. All these emperors. The first emperor is Caesar. Augustus. You know, huh? Okay? So now, there are those who do this. They want to make this as the Roman beast, So they had to look for Roman emperors that were fit, forced it into their theory. So how do they do that? Five are fallen. That's how they will choose. This is how they will choose. One group choose this. Augusta, Tiberius, Caligula, Claudius, and Nero as one group. Because these are the Caesars. They are known as the Caesars. Alright, with all kinds of names, you know, later. After that, they choose this. Then Galba is second. Otto is third. Others is fourth. And this Vespasian is the fifth group. But most commonly taught by the other group is this. They take this fight. Nerva, Trajan, Hadrian, Antoninus Pius, Marcus Aurelius. These five, good emperor, they call it, are fallen. But the strange thing is that when Marcus Aurelius, he was co-emperor with Lucius Verus. How come he was not chosen? They were co-emperor. Conveniently, huh? They choose these five emperor and say they are fallen. So what is? What is, of course, is Constantine. Constantine is the year 306. How come he's so far away? What year was John? 96. What year was Constantine? 306 to 337. Does it make sense? Oh, conveniently they say God transported John to the days of Constantine. So the angel could say one is and say there was Constantine the Great. Does it really make sense like that? This is why we have people falsely doctrines, falsely teaching, when the Bible is so clear that the seven heads are seven mountains are seven kings with seven kingdoms, not emperors. So they are trying to take all these Roman emperors, or these five especially, and fit it. There has five are gone. Five heads are fallen. And one is was Constantine. And one that is to come was the Holy Roman Empire. Now, if you look at over here, now Charlemagne, the year was 742 when he was emperor, when he was king of France. Alright? And he was made the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire in the year 800 only. That's when the Holy Roman Empire came in. So he was crowned the Holy Roman Emperor. It makes sense? No, it doesn't make sense. You can't do that. You cannot stretch it like this. Alright, let's continue and we finish off. So now we said this, but those that believe that this beast with seven heads were actually Roman Empire, because that was the one that Daniel saw of the last beast. There were four beasts that Daniel saw. The last one was a beast with the very diverse beast, non-discrete beast. Okay, but how many heads did John, how many heads did Daniel saw? Only one head. So they are saying that over time, Roman Empire, the one that Daniel saw, evolved six other heads. I already said this, that is back as Sadducees. That is what we call Gasabuta. Because animals do not grow heads. They grow horns. You're either born with, like if you are born, you know, Siamese twins? You ever seen those with born with obviously with the head on the shoulder, something like that? There was some defect, right? You're born like that. You cannot be born and then grow heads. No, you can't. Animals don't do that. Alright. So now, let me just close with it. The whole system that the whole of this vision that John saw is all about the world system of a man. That Satan wanted to bring about through one man. You understand that? That's the reason why that dragon that's presented in Revelation chapter 12. They want to take that man child to destroy it so that there will be no kingdom. But this satanic spirit, Satan, then being that he was cast out, he went over to all these nations that were trying to attack and destroy the children of Israel. Using empires to destroy her. So in the end, he will have to end up in one man. When Satan is cast down, when he will be incarnated into the Pope. Verse 11, we close with this verse. Chapter 17. And the beast that was and is not, he is the head and is of the seven, and he goes into destruction. The beast that was, he was. In a year, you know, when the Church of Rome built herself so high, they influenced the Roman Empire. And it became a Holy Roman Empire. And then Martin Luther came and dealt it with a blow on the head. It almost died. But it still is. One moment it was, and one moment it was not. But then it says, even he is the head. Now, we see the Roman Empire, there's no Roman Empire today, but we see the Catholic Church today. Now, it's out there in Europe, controlling them, influencing them. But when Satan is incarnate into the man, what will become? He will rise up and become the eighth head. But the eighth head is actually the seventh. Is that right? Because it's come from that. It was supposed to die. It didn't die. And it was revived. But yet it has to be incarnated by the Pope. And then you will have his glory. Because all the empire, the seven heads, all have his glorious day. And the eighth one, which is of the seven, will have this glorious day that is coming. And we don't want to see that. Because it would not be a glorious day for the world. It will be a great suffering. For her, it is. It will be. May God have blessing on us. Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace and day for our span again. I pray, Lord, you take the word further for those that are still questioning and trying to understand, Lord. We pray that you help them understand. We thank you for your word, Father, and for your goodness. Asking that you bless today and the rest of the day, and all those that watched the video and listened and learned, we pray that you bless them too, in Jesus' name. Amen.